Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Our conversation with Pastor Matthew Changa, who's going to be joining us in just a moment to speak to us about the great hope. We are on chapter 4, entitled Everlasting Life. And in this chapter, Ellen White explores the profound themes of sin, death, and the promise of eternal life. This chapter delves into the origin of sin through the fall of Adam and Eve, the deceptive nature of Satan, and the hope offered through Jesus Christ. It emphasizes that eternal life is a gift from God, granted to those who believe in His Son, and contrasts this truth with the widespread misconceptions about the soul's immortality and the afterlife. Have you heard those conversations? Yes, we're going to be getting into all of that in this chapter. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you're having a good week so far.
Always well. We really praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Glad to hear that. So, Pastor, let's get straight into it. Let's start with a brief summary of what this chapter is speaking to us about, and then we can look at the origin of death and the promise of life.
Okay. In brief, the topic it actually says the great hope, everlasting life from the book, the great hope,
yes.
Everlasting life. So the aspect is we are considering an environment where people, they no longer have hope to say, it seems like we are losing our loved ones every time, now and then we are losing our loved ones. So is there hope? What's really the end of everything? Everyone knows the pain of losing a loved one.
Yeah.
So those are the answers that are now coming from the book to say there are some things that really happened. This happened, then this later on happened as a solution to the problem.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And so when we look at the origin of death and the promise of life, we see that this chapter begins by recounting the fall of humanity and highlighting how Adam and Eve's disobedience led to sin, how death entered the world. Can you take us through all of that and also how it introduces the promise of redemption through Jesus?
Okay, thank you. So when we consider the issue of death, the Bible says, that's Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So the issue of death is as a result of sin. So allow me to delve into the root of death. When for us to understand the aspect of death, we need to consider the issue of sin. Then for us to know sin now, when you get to 1 John 3, verse 4, it actually says, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. I'm interested with the last part that says, for sin is the transgression of the law. So what it means, there is a law that was transgressed or broken, which brought sin into us, which is the law. When now you get to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2, verse 17, the Bible actually says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm reading from the King James Version. I love the way this verse is articulated in the King James Version, because its wording is similar with the wording that is on Exodus chapter 20, where we get the Ten Commandments. So here they are being told, thou shalt not. The thou shalt not, you get it several times when you consider the Ten Commandments. So here they are given one command, thou shalt not eat of it. Then later on, Genesis chapter 3, we see Eve and Adam eating the forbidden fruit or the forbidden tree, from the forbidden tree. Then that's when we see the entrance of sin in humanity. But now this is not the origin of sin. This is not the root of sin. Then when we get now to Revelation chapter 12 from verse 7 going downwards, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels and the dragon with his angels, and then the dragon and his angels, or Satan and his angels, they didn't win. Then they were thrown on the planet Earth. So this thing is taking place right in heaven. this thing taking place right in heaven. And let me just share a bit of what is in heaven. When you get to Revelation 15, verse 2, John has this to say, "And I looked and saw something that looked like the sea of glass." So he's saying, I didn't see the sea of glass, but I saw something that looked like. So it's not the sea of glass, but it looked like the sea of glass. Here, John is expressing what he's seeing in the throne of God or in the most holy place. Now, when we read Isaiah 14, 28 of Ezekiel as well, we'll get to know and to realize that Lucifer, who is now called Satan, he used to work in the northern part of the sanctuary, which is the most holy place. In the most holy place, this is the view of the most holy place that we are told by John now. You saw something that looked like the sea of glass. So he is expressing the glory of God, which he is seeing as a sea of glass. See what it means is water. So he's seeing the glory of God overflowing from the most holy place. So this is where the office of Lucifer, now called Satan, used to be. So in other words, a sin came from a sinless environment. In other words, sin does not need a sinful environment in order to express itself. Sin can express itself even in a sinless environment. And here we see that it came as an intruder right in the presence of God. Then it coming right in the presence of God as an intruder, now we see this big thing that started right in the presence of God entering the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, we see now, Genesis chapter 3, we now see the manifestation of sin, the serpent talking to Eve, then Eve eating now the forbidden tree. So after we have realized how big sin is by it starting right in the presence of God, that's when we see now that death because of sin, death which comes because of sin now, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible actually says, if you eat this, thou should die. You get it? Mm-hmm. So if God says, if you eat this, and then thou shalt surely die, it is because there was a law that was broken. And this law, if there is a law that is broken, what is the following thing is for an individual to die. So because there was a law that was broken, it is actually inevitable for the one who breaks the law or not to die. You get it?
Yeah.
Then now, after we have entered into this deep trouble, or to an extent that all of us were supposed to be dying, and we are dying and dying and dying, I actually see death as a blessing that came from God. Because just imagine a relative having cancer, then the whole leg has been eaten by cancer, and then cancer goes to the other leg, and we you name it. Then that person continues to live in pain. Have you ever come to a point where a loved one is not feeling well and you say, God, may you just allow this person to rest? So that's the love of God to say, because of this sin, I know the consequences of sin. I know the pain that is caused by sin. So I will allow these people to die so that they won't experience this pain. So death is actually a blessing, or it's an expression of the love of God. But now, God wanting his people to live, that's when now we see we see somebody who is bigger or greater to sin.
Yeah.
Who is this somebody? Who is this somebody? Because remember, this thing started right in the presence of God. So it means the one who started this thing is big. And this big being is Lucifer, now Satan. Mm. So him being big is actually, when you read the book of Psalms, actually says we were created as humans, we were created a bit lower to angels. So when it comes to power and strength, we are actually lower to angels. So we need somebody who is bigger to angels, who is actually bigger to this Satan. And Ellen White is this also to say, that this favorite writer of mine, she actually says, for about 6,000 years, the world has been struggling in sin. In other words, this Satan has been in this business of deceiving humans for about 6,000 years. So he is a great psychologist. So we need somebody who is of ages, who is bigger to the Satan, who is now this somebody. That's where we see God himself through Jesus Christ. For when we get to John 3, verse 16, it actually says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we believe in this Jesus, when we get the everlasting life. How do we get the everlasting life? When we transgressed, we're supposed to die. And he himself is the only one who was able to die on our behalf. So we no longer need to fear death, because actually when the Bible says, when you get to John chapter 11, the death of a Christian or a believer is regarded as a sleep. So when we sleep, there is a time of us to awake or to be awakened from that sleep. Mm-hmm. So that's the concept of Jesus coming. To those ones who believe in Jesus, they will be awakened by he himself. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sure. I love that. So many beautiful points that you brought up there. I've never thought about the fact that even that sleep of death that we take is an act of mercy from God. We always see it as a punishment, which, yes, we understand that we lost the privilege of eternal life when we sinned. But when you look at it that way, the fact that because of the sinful world that we live in, and you even see old people when they say, no, just let me go. I remember my grandmother, when my grandmother used to tell my father, my uncles and them, just it's fine. Stop taking me to the hospital. It's time for me to go now. I'm okay. I'm ready to go. I'm tired of this place. Yeah. And that's when you see that, yeah, I guess in a way it is a mercy of God that he allows us to sleep and not have to perpetually live in this terrible, terrible world. Now, you touched right now on, you know, the lie that humanity was given about never dying, that we would never die, and all these different beliefs that we've seen that prop up that lie, that, you know, we already, in essence, we already have eternal life. When you die, you don't surely die. Can you speak to us about that? And, you know, that clear contradiction of God's warning that we would actually die, and how this deception has perpetuated throughout time. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, this is something that has been like going on and on, the issue of the immortality of the soul. Maybe let me just try to define the term immortality. When we are talking of immortality is the ability to live forever. Mm-hmm. The ability to live forever. And I feel we need to reason as people. I believe in God, in a God of reasoning. So if we say immortality means the ability to live forever, Do we have a relative that has been living forever? Mm. We have just said everyone knows, or just everyone has experienced the pain of losing a loved one. Almost everyone,
yeah.
Everyone, at some point, he or she has faced a scenario of losing a loved ones or a loved one. So now when we say when Satan said, "You shall not die, you shall not surely die," there is an aspect of him saying, "You will die, but you won't surely die." Mm. So it seems to mean that, yeah, our loved ones may die, but it they can still do something, because you shall not surely die. You will die, but you shall not surely, the surely aspect. You are dead, but not surely dead. And then we have some, in our African culture, when you consider, we have some scenarios or some ceremonies, like the one they say they want to bring a dead person in back into the family. Then they go at the graveyard, they try to carry the dead one back home. Mm-hmm. But like usually they slaughter a cattle is slaughtered them.
Yeah.
Then I have just this in mind to say, if we just send a young person, maybe someone who is around 14, 15, to say, yeah, so go and tell the people at the graveyard there to say, our grandfather, the one there, the one to bring him back to the family, please, Raj, he has just come and take some of the meat. Surely that person, that young person will die. Why? Because these big people, they know that to say they want to bring a dead person back home is something that is impossible. And that person cannot come and perform a duty of taking meat from the kitchen or removing from the kitchen and going somewhere with the meat. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we were kind of closed in our minds or deceived, or like we were touched to an extent that we don't reason to say, does this thing really make sense? Like, for example, let's say I'm married, then after I'm married, then I die 2 years after, then you see my wife pregnant. Then you ask her, who is the owner of this pregnancy? Mm. And then she will be like, yeah, it's of my husband, Changa. When Changa came and did this, after 2 years, definitely, the whole family will say, yeah, there is no such.
Yeah.
There is no such. So we are kind of closed in our mind, like, yeah, to say that we kind of not reason to say this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to, let me bring this verse in picture. When you read Ecclesiastes 6, chapter 9. Verse 5, it actually says, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. Mm. What it means is when you are dead, you are dead, and you are dead in a real. What's the definition of death? Death means the end of life. That's the definition from the Oxford Dictionary.
Right.
It means the end of life. So if it's the end of life now, when you are dead, what it means, you cannot perform the duties that can be performed by someone who is living.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? So you are gone, and you are gone for good. And then life as well, it has to do with the existence of individual. Why don't we serve, maybe on a funeral service, why don't we serve a plate for the one that we are gathered for, to say, Mr. Nkana died, so let's have a plate for Mr. Nkana. The reason why we don't have that plate for Mr. Nkana, who is dead, it is because Mr. Nkana cannot come and eat from that plate. He is dead. He is out of existence. So when we consider the concept of people who submit to say, people can still live, I think it's just the aspect of them being closed by the devil, and there is also a need of us coming to the biblical understanding that eternal life is just the one that comes from Christ Himself, mm-hmm, not the one that we give ourselves to say we can still live, yes, after so and so. But the eternal life is only guaranteed when we believe. For John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in the Son will have everlasting life. Why everlasting life? Because they will be able to escape the powers and also the deceptions of the devil. I like how John puts it on John 8, verse 32. He actually says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm.
If you consider those people who believe that the dead know something, they live in fear. They really live in fear, and they have gone to an extra mile of losing their property, one after another. They go to Sangomas. The Sangoma says, you need to bring 5 kettles. And then they go with the 5 keto. After that, you need to do this and this and this. What it communicates to me is that there is someone behind, or there is a power that is behind, that is not a loving power, but a power that is forcing people, or that is pulling people into poverty. Not the loving God, because the loving God, he actually wants us to live a happy life. Because when you consider the life before the entrance of sin in humanity in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve used to live a perfect life in a perfect environment. Everything was well, in a good relationship with God. But this person or this Satan or this sin aspect wants to bring us into a into a life of fear. And also when you get to the Bible, it actually says, fear, those who believe in God, they don't fear, or they fear nothing. In other words, we are not supposed to be people who live in fear. But when we are put to live in fear, what it means is there is a power behind that really need deliverance. And the one who can surely give this deliverance is Jesus himself, who is the one able to give us the everlasting life.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful lesson. Thank you so much, my pastor, for coming through. It's been a beautiful one there. And I'm looking forward to connecting again on Thursday as we continue looking into chapter 4 and seeing what else we can learn about everlasting life from this beautiful book, The Great Hope. Thank you so much for your time this morning. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Bongi. May the good Lord bless you too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.